Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf, Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace.
And we're all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John, but one is more powerful than I, will come, the straps of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the barn. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and he was praying. Heaven was open, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased."
You are my son, whom I love, with you I am well pleased. I like January. I like January principally because it's not Christmas. The rushing around, trying to fit in too many things in a day, is over. I can enjoy my presents. My new scarf, my cherry perfume. I have a beautiful bag to put things in. Very handy. But there's not much chocolate left. I can rest in the glow of Christmas without feeling I have to be or do anything about Christmas. At the beginning of a new year, I have time to reflect on new beginnings in 2025. The words that come into my mind from the evening service are time for a moment of life and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit. January, a time for new beginnings. A time for amendment of life. Today, we are celebrating a beginning. It's the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry after his baptism by John the Baptist. The three synoptic gospels, Mark, Matthew, and Luke, all record that Jesus was one of those who came to John the Baptist to be baptized in the River Jordan. All four gospels record that the Spirit of the Lord came down and rested on Jesus. This is a very important moment. Everything in the scriptures has been building up to this moment. During Advent, we remember the longing and the expectations of the Old Testament prophets for a Savior, a Messiah. We remember the prophecy of Zechariah, that his newborn son John would be a prophet of the Most High and will prepare the way of the Lord. At Christmas, we celebrated the human and the divine birth of Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us. So fast forward about 30 years, and we read in Luke's Gospel that John received a divine calling. The word of God came to John, and he went into all the country around Jordan, preaching a gospel of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. He was so compelling that people even wondered in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John knew he was not the Messiah. His mission was to prepare the way for the coming Messiah and baptize with water. The coming Messiah would baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. He would sort the wheat from the chaff. He would gather those who had repented to himself as the new Israel. So if Jesus, as the Messiah, is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, why, you might wonder, does Jesus need John's baptism with water? And in any case, if Jesus is without sin, why does he need to undergo a baptism of repentance? Well, let's look at John's motivation to baptize by water first. John had been called to a mission of renewal by God. He wanted the people of Israel, and this does not include the Gentiles, by the way, to dedicate themselves to the way of life God had intended. Israel had crossed through the River Jordan to inherit the promised land. They had been called into a covenant with God to love and serve him alone, love their neighbor, pursue justice together. But they failed. John the Baptist was calling the Israelites back to the waters of the River Jordan to be rededicated one by one to God, to be ready for the coming of the Messiah. And it was this, within this renewal movement, the renewal of the Israelite community, that Jesus first appeared. John's baptism was not about personal salvation. It was about demonstrating solidarity with this new, rededicated community. So why did Jesus allow himself to be baptized by water? When Jesus submitted himself willingly to John's baptism, he wasn't admitting his own sinfulness. No, he wasn't. He was recognizing and validating John the Baptist's ministry for a new Israel. Jesus identified himself with the people as a fellow human being being born in the flesh. He could have stood with John, calling the people to repentance, but instead he stood with the people. He joined the people in baptism. It was an act of humanity and humility. So what happened at baptism? Luke gives the briefest of accounts of the actual baptism by water. Verse 21, when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. But now, look at the sequence of events. Look at the intervention of a divine presence. The baptism is followed by Jesus praying, by a divine sign appearing, and a divine voice speaking. And as he was praying, Luke emphasizes through his gospel that Jesus is a man of prayer. He always prays at critical moments. Heaven was opened, which indicated that what was to happen next came from God. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. In other words, the Holy Spirit was not a hallucination or a fantasy, but a real-time event. The dove reference just confirmed that Jesus was beloved of God. While Jesus clearly experienced the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the vision of the spiritual experience was not limited to him alone. John the Baptist in St. John's Gospel gives his personal testimony. He says, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And the voice, We had a lot about the voice in Psalm 29 this morning. And a voice came from heaven. You are my son, whom I love. Which is an echo of Psalm 2, when God promised that a king would come to confront evil among the nations. With you I am well pleased, referring to the suffering servant of Isaiah, who will suffer and die on Israel's behalf. Scripture is being fulfilled in Jesus. His baptism marks the beginning of his public ministry. The descent of the Holy Spirit is not the moment at which Jesus becomes the Son of God. He is that already by virtue of his conception by the Holy Spirit. But this is the moment in time for God made man to make himself known on earth. The way has been prepared by John the Baptist. It is time. This all sounds quite mystical, so I'm going to kind of bring it down to earth for a moment and tell you how I relate to the baptism. I want to start off talking about Jordan. Quite a few years ago, James and I went to Jordan and we visited the baptismal site, and I've always kept my admission ticket ever since. It was an amazing occasion. Some of you I know have been to Jordan. The baptismal site they've identified where they think the site is, but the river has moved. So there's a sort of little covered area to show where they think the baptismal site was. But you can go and sit down and put your feet in the River Jordan. So we did that, we sat down, and the river was muddy, it wasn't very wide, but it was extremely welcome to put our feet into the water, because although it was May, it was really hot. The whole area is rocky, it's dusty, it's already the wilderness. Such trees as there are look as if they're pretty much dead. It's a barren landscape. The water is muddy. But we were there. We were there at the Jordan. And someone else in our congregation, Gladys, was at the Jordan. And when she came back, she brought me a bottle. So this is water from the source of the Jordan River. So I've kept this. It's very precious to me, along with my ticket. So that evening, James and I were sitting outside our hotel by the Dead Sea. Very dark, it's very hot. When suddenly I looked up and I saw a dove. I had a deep intake of breath. And I waited for a moment and then I looked at James and I said, did you see a dove? To which he replied, yes, I did. So we looked at each other and we remained silent, and then nothing happened. So we continued our dinner. And then a few moments later, lo and behold, the dove flew back again. So I looked at the dove, looked at James, did you see the dove? Yes, I saw the dove. We sat there, nothing happened. So I think the moral of the story is that seeing a dove over the Dead Sea, near the River Jordan, is no guarantee that God will speak to you. But I can tell you that there are doves in the area. I used to think that the Bible was full of stories that Jesus were full of references to the Old Testament, and that this was all very contrived. They're using passages from the Old Testament to justify who and what Jesus is. But over the years, I've come to see that that isn't true, and I've come to see that really from my own personal experience. If I ever think I have heard the voice of God speaking to me, it will often be in words from Scripture. Often words or sentences I know, but sometimes ones that I don't know. So I want to give you an example. When a dear friend died at a youngish age, I was asked to say some prayers at funeral. So a few days before the funeral, I was lying down in the dark at a beautician, as you do, having a facial, thinking about what to say. seemed quite appropriate to think of death lying on a hard, narrow bed in the dark with a face mask by myself with plinky-plonky music playing. But as I got up, a short, complete, four-line verse came into my head about my friend being safe and being held in God's hands, and God saying, "You are mine, I am yours." They're words from Isaiah 43. Now, I hadn't used those words before, and actually it was a long time after that I found the biblical reference. This Advent, as I thought about the long wait for Jesus, I had a real sense of the spaciousness of time, the continuity of time within which God operates. Humans live in a time, but through scripture, through the writings of mystics and prophets, we connect with ancient words of wisdom about the nature of God, who is timeless. Jesus did. When he heard the voice from heaven, he knew what the ancient words meant. And lastly, I was struck by the importance of prayer in Jesus' baptism, and that Jesus experiences the Holy Spirit after he has prayed. One of my favorite quotes about prayer comes from William Temple, the Archbishop of Canterbury, in the 1940s, and he said, "When I pray, coincidences happen. When I don't, they don't." I have to say, I entirely agree with the sentiment, and that has been my experience. Praying to God does not mean all the changes we want will happen, either in our own lives or the lives of others. But prayer brings us into God's presence, to have a conversation and listen to what God's intentions are for us, in stillness, on the walk round the path, even to the beauticians. God is available through prayer, any time, day or night. So what of your own baptism? Jesus' baptism was the beginning of his ministry, just as our baptism is the beginning of our spiritual journey to know Jesus. It's not an end in itself. Jesus was sustained throughout his ministry by prayer, reading the scriptures, and by his community of disciples. As we begin this new year, how might we be sustained and grow in faith? We're all different, and we have different ways of learning. But there's one thing I am sure of. The desire to see God in all things will lead us to a closer walk with God. The conscious and unconscious desire to seek God will lead us into wanting to spend more time with God, to seek God in the ordinariness of everyday life, in the faces of people around us, to seek God's will and not our own. So until the year speeds up, let's spend some time in January in being. See where new roads take us this year on our spiritual journey with Christ. Enjoy the new year, and above all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might.